As we listen to the readings today, and we heard in the first reading, it's from the book of the prophet Isaiah. We're continuing to hear from the prophet Isaiah, and it's still they're coming out of exile. And Isaiah is exhorting them of the great gift that God has given to them, this God of the Israelites. And he's saying to them that this is the God that we worship. And when we worship this God, he's asking of us to be kind to one another. And that's why he's saying, once we love this God more, it means that we will do what Isaiah says. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. That's the only time that will come to you. These corporal works of mercies are when we start living our faith, but it's not living our faith. The faith is not something, but our faith is someone. And that's Jesus Christ. Our faith is based on Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. It's not something we do, it's something we live. That's why in the Catholic Church we always have Jesus Christ in the cross. We don't have the cross without Christ on there, the body of Christ, the corpus. We always have Christ on the cross. Why? Because we don't worship the cross, we worship the man who died for us on the cross. And that's what's so beautiful about this here. And that's what Isaiah is trying to get them to realize, that God is not some entity out there, but somebody that's close to them and lives with them. And in our responsorial psalm, Psalm 112, even though we sung something different today, but the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. When we live our faith, we become that light. And St. Paul reverberates that message. And he talks to them about how his message and his proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, of human wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. These are important things for us to really understand, that our faith rests upon the power of God, that our faith rests upon the person of Jesus Christ in our lives. And in today's gospel message, we hear three metaphors used, and they're used one right after another. It talks about salt, light, and the city on a hill. And these three metaphors are very simplistic and tangible in our everyday lives. And why is it? Because we experience the use of salt to flavor our food. We don't so much use salt to preserve our food as they did at that time. And then light, this metaphor of light. We don't have a big problem here in the city because of we have so much electricity and light, so available. People even have it on their cell phones. I hope none of the teenagers are using their cell phones today. I guess we caught a few of them watching videos with the little they had their cell phone in the missile. Anyway, can you believe that? After I talked about the cell phone etiquette, they caught a few that were doing that watching a movie while at Mass. Anyway, I know it's funny, but it really isn't that funny. But anyway, I guess it was that important to them. So what I'm getting at here is light. Have you ever gone to a place without any light, and how important light is in our everyday lives? And the light is what shows us, especially in the darkness. And these other metaphors that are being used is that these three things, salt and light, these two things are not used for themselves. Salt does not exist for itself. It's used to preserve things. Light does not exist for itself, but to brighten the surrounding. And the city on the hill is constructed to be a visible sign to others about the city being there. And before two of the metaphors, Jesus addresses his disciples with the words, "You are." So he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And so what Jesus is saying is, he's not saying you should be the light of the world, you should be the salt. No, he says, if you want to be my disciple, you must be light for the world. You must be the salt for the world. And the metaphor that I really want to focus on today is that of light. Because light always has some kind of energy source to keep it lit and to keep it burning brightly. And that source of energy always has to be renewed or replenished. And if it isn't, then that light begins to fade and becomes almost useless unless we renew that energy source. And that same concept goes for us with the use of our faith. Christ is the source of life that keeps this light burning brightly within us. And that's why we need to stay connected with Jesus Christ. That's why we needed to be plugged into him, because he is that source of light. He's the source of life. And it's living that virtuous life that Jesus Christ is calling us to live. And when we live the way that he is teaching us, then we become a greater source of light for those in the world. But what often happens to us, we want to be that light. We come to Mass and we try to live this faith out as best we can. But a lot of times something is that drains that energy, that source of energy in our lives. And a lot of it's what we call vices and sin. And what they do is sometimes the vices become rooted, deeply rooted within us, what we call bad habits. And so it blinds us to the reality that God has created you and me for. It is often difficult for us to change our ways. And a lot of times we get caught up in the way of the world and we think it's okay. And then, of course, when we start living this way of life and we don't want to change, it often takes something drastic that happens in our lives to wake us up and make us want to change. I'd like to share with you a story. It's a true story by Frank Koch. And he was telling the story about him being on a battleship. And he goes like this. Two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog. So the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported, "Light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. So the captain then called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. I advise you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "To change course 20 degrees. And then back came the signal, "Advisable for you to change your course 20 degrees. And the captain said, "Send that person. I am a captain. Change course 20 degrees. The reply came back, "I am a seaman, second class. You had better change your course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious, and he spat out, "Send, I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. And then back came the flashing light. "I am a lighthouse." Obviously, we changed course. What's happening here is that the captain actually woke up to reality that superseded his limited perception at that moment in that time. And if he didn't change his course, he was inevitably heading towards destruction. And that's what Jesus' teachings are similar to that lighthouse. They are natural laws that Jesus teaches us. These are natural laws that pertain to our nature, to who we are. Because God created you and me, and he knows, you've heard me say this before, he knows what's best for us. But oftentimes we tell God, "Well, no, let me try it my way." And then often we start falling into different, like, despair or hardships. And they're teachings that benefit us spiritually, humanly, intellectually, and psychologically, because God knows best. If we only give him the first chance, if we allow him and we allow us to know his teachings and get to know the person of Jesus Christ in our everyday lives, when he becomes part of our lives. There's a young man that came to me and he's talking to me about how how happy he was when he was going through grade school, and how he loved God, and life seemed to be good because he was going through the grade school at a Catholic school, and he had some really good teachers that taught him the faith. Then he got into high school, and he started going astray. He started living the life the different way, like everybody else was living their lives. And he started to feel this tension inside, this anxiety inside him, and also almost like a depression inside. And he goes, why am I feeling this here? Why can't I get that love, that joy that I had when I was in grade school? And he started reflecting on that. And he went back and he realized, and because he was asking other people and they were just telling him, oh, it's normal. It's normal that you go through all this. Then he reflect back and look back to the happiness, and the happiest moments of his life were when he was closest to God. This is a young man telling me this here. And he started going back to God. He started trying to live his faith again. And he would go in high school, he'd start going to the chapel. And as he went to the chapel, he'd give God 10 minutes each day. And he says, Father John, I received that happiness and that joy back in my life again. Oh, how much I want to share this with others. Because he found the source of happiness. He found the source of joy. And you know, in the Mercury News, how many of you read, I think it was 2 days or 3 days ago, in the Mercury News, the front page, about how many students are out there with high anxiety and also depression. And these are high school students that are falling into anxieties and depression, and they're having a difficult time getting through this here. And a lot of times, if we look at it, what's the number one prescription drugs in the world? It's, what is it for? Depression. And I'm not saying that some, you know, it's not biological with some people and everything, but a lot of times it's a certain type of pressure when we leave God out of the picture. When we lose hope in life, anxieties start kicking in. This is what Jesus wants from us. He wants us not to just barely survive. He doesn't want us to be a tired nation. He wants us to be a thriving nation. He wants us to be a thriving people. And he wants us to come to him and have that personal relationship with Jesus. And that's what today is all about being light to the world. And we need that light to shine in our everyday lives. And I'm going to continue. It's like you might think that this is not part of the homily, but it is. We have another way to be a light to the world, another way to help one another out, and it's our annual diocesan appeal. And you know, many of you may know what this is. Many of you are like going, oh, geez, Father John, you're going to have to give this year. Did Father Kevin put you up to this? But the annual diocesan appeal, many of you may have received this in the mail, and if you haven't, you can pick it up, okay? And what I want you to do, this brochure is our annual diocesan appeal, and many of you may have received it. Many of you may have put it in the round file, okay? And if you did, pick up another one, all right? And the reason why I'm saying this is that this annual diocesan appeal, our goal for this year, okay, is $175,433. That's our goal this year. What does this diocesan appeal do? What does it entail for you? Okay, well, what are the benefits a lot of people look at? One of the things is sacrificial giving, and it's working as a team, working as a teamwork, that we help build up our diocese, because it's more than just our parish here at St. Lucie's. It's the whole Diocese of San Jose. And we're in the most high-stake business in the world. You've heard me say this before. It's called the economy of salvation of souls. That's what the church is about, the economy of salvation of souls. That's what we are looking at doing, and that's what our whole goal is to do, and that's why we work together. And by your generosity in helping this out, you're helping out in many different portions of the annual diocesan appeal that helps out the whole church as a whole. But one of the main things I want to talk to you about today is how your contribution on this helps form future priests for our diocese. Your contribution goes to help form seminarians. Seminarians are those future men that are studying to become priests, and then one day will be here with you at this parish or another parish. And that's what it is. Your contribution helps us to continue the formation, and that's my job. My job is the director of vocations and seminarians. And this year has helped these men in the formation of the whole human person at the seminary. It's not just 7 years of studies. It's 7 years of formation. We're giving them, forming them in the spiritual, human, and intellectual so that they can go out into the parish and bring this great gift to others. And so what I'd like you to do with this here, with this brochure, I'm not asking you to fill it out today. Maybe you might. Maybe God has inspired you to fill this out. But what I'm asking you to do is take it home and seriously pray on this, on how much you can give. You don't have to give a whole lot all in one shot. If you think, well, you know what? I can give $30 a month. That'd be great. I can give $20 a month. Let's say if you're unemployed and you can't give anything, why don't you write on the card saying, you know, Father, I'm unemployed right now, would love to give some money, but I'm going to keep you in the annual diocesan appeal and this mission of salvation of souls. I'm going to be praying for that. And that's something that we want. If everybody contributes, and not just a small portion, we all playing the game together. We're all there in contributing and helping out in the salvation of souls and bringing people closer to Christ. And that's being a light to the world. You might say, well, nobody's going to see that. God will. God will see the sacrifice that you make and the little sacrifice you made. And even if it's a small contribution and you did it with love, you did more than anything else you could possibly do. And that's great, is making that sacrifice. So I want to thank you all first in advance for your generosity for the past years, because your annual diocesan appeal, the money that you gave to that, helped form Father Steve. It helped form myself. And, okay, maybe your grandparents helped form Father Kevin. Okay. But this is something that we all did together, and it's something that we could work with. So please take one of those home with you. And I think they're at the end of the pews, or they're in there. I'm not sure exactly. But I really appreciate that, and I thank you in advance for your generosity.